This is Southern California's only 24-hour local news and traffic station, KNX 1070 News Radio. Depend on us.
9:44. Good morning. I'm Dick Helton.
And I'm Vicki Moore. Coming up,
answering your questions about coronavirus.
We're going to be live in just a minute with a family doctor from Tarzana and our medical expert this morning, Dr. Michael Hurst. So,
every day at this time, we're going to be answering your questions about the coronavirus, how it spreads, how you can avoid getting it, what you need to know. You can submit your questions by Facebook and Twitter by using the hashtag KNX Corona Questions.
Joining us live today is Tarzana family doctor Michael Hurd. He runs his own practice, the Center for Integrative Medicine. He's a graduate of Harvard Medical School, is certified by both the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Nutrition. And doctor, this morning, one of our big stories has been about really our parents and grandparents in these assisted living facilities and a surge of coronavirus cases in L.A. County affecting them. Now, many of these facilities have blocked family members of patients from visiting, but the question is about the caregivers and the companions that are still allowed into the facility to kind of spend time with the elderly. How safe is it for them to interact closely with the elderly?
You know, it's still a problem. And the main reason it's a problem is because we don't have adequate testing. If we could test these caregivers, if we could test family members, we could know who has had the coronavirus and is now immune and can go forward and be with other people and go back to work. And we'd also be able to tell them, if they are infected, how much longer we expect them to still be dangerous to others, especially the elderly and the vulnerable. But without adequate testing, we just don't know. And so we have to restrict and protect the elderly and all the vulnerable patients still.
There's a lot that we don't know, and this is kind of a bad time of the year for this virus to be around us because this is a question from Melissa, who lives in Studio City. And I think it's one a lot of people are thinking about. How do you know that you don't just have your seasonal allergies? You wake up in the morning, you got a sore throat, you got drainage, your chest is wheezing a little bit, you have to take a couple of puffs on your inhaler. How do you know that it's not just your allergies and not the virus?
Melissa, that's a great question. And that, again, gets back to testing. We don't have adequate testing. So many of my patients who have tested positive for COVID have very similar symptoms to allergies. Some of them have very minimal symptoms. One patient had only fatigue, none of the other classic symptoms. And so without testing, we don't know. And that's why this virus is spreading, because we can't test and then tell people to stay home. That's how Germany, that's how South Korea have successfully contained this virus, is through testing. And until that gets to my, front door as a doctor seeing COVID patients on a daily basis, we're not going to be able to tell Melissa and her family members whether or not she's got a virus or just an allergy.
We got a few questions on this morning based on a story that we did. An MIT researcher is saying that really you should keep social distance up to 27 feet from people because of the coughs and the sneezes and the clouds that can emerge and how far that can travel. So the questions from our listeners had to do with people who vape, right? And they exhale this spray, this cloud around them. How close should you get to that?
Well, that's a great way to see, right, how far a cough or breath can spread. Is if somebody is vaping, you can see just how far and widespread that cloud goes. And anywhere that cloud goes, potentially a COVID virus can go as well. So 6 feet is just a general recommendation. It's not been scientifically proven. It's really more letting people know, hey, don't get too close. And if you're sneezing or coughing, wear a mask, cough into your, sleeve or elbow, and make sure that you're not spreading the virus.
Taking questions this morning from you for our Tarzana family doctor, Dr. Michael Hurd. And doctor, I know that one of your specialties is nutrition. You talk about the COVID patients that you're seeing right now. Is there anything that we can do in terms of what we're eating, anything that will help us deal with the virus if we get it, or perhaps keep us from getting it in the first place?
That's an important question. And if you look at the statistics of California and particularly of Los Angeles, we are doing amazing compared to other parts of the country. Our death rates are extremely low. In the county of Los Angeles, which has some 10 million people, we've had 44 deaths, which, every death is important, but that's very low. And California has one-tenth the number of deaths as New York. And I think in part because we have a healthier lifestyle here. We're eating fruits and vegetables all year round. We're getting sunshine all year round, and that produces vitamin D, which is another way that people can protect themselves from this virus. So we are stronger, we are healthier, and as a result, we are less vulnerable to the virus. And what I see in my practice is that nearly all of my patients who've had COVID are doing great with just a little bit of support, you know, from my practice. And I think all of LA, similarly, is doing very well. And some of the things that you can do at home, number one is you've got to get out sugar. Sugar is a human poison. It weakens the immune system and makes you more vulnerable to these kind of infections. And when we're home and we're nervous and we're stress eating, we typically reach for the sugary, you know, snacks and treats, and that's not the right thing to be doing right now.
So I should get rid of the box of dots that's in front of me right now and stop eating that. We had another question from Studio City this morning, which I think is a good one. You know, grocery stores are putting up plexiglass. We've heard Ralph's is doing this and some other chains to separate the clerks from the customers. It's to protect the clerks. But if the customers are kind of up close to those, maybe breathing on them or coughing, how safe is that other side of the plexiglass for the customers?
Yeah, you know, plexiglass is a good barrier, but really only if it's, you know, like the old Maxwell Smart, you know, cone of silence that comes down and really seals you, you know, from the person in front of you. If there's any cracks, any airflow, then it's really not offering a significant, you know, barrier. Sneeze guards, you know, are helpful a little bit, but as we just talked about, a cough, a sneeze can go just about anywhere and certainly can bounce off, you know, a plexiglass, you know, a plate and affect somebody else. So these are, you know, trying times. People are doing their best to try and find ways to reduce transmission. And honestly, the best way is to know who's got it and to keep those people from infecting others.
Here's a good question. It comes from one of our listeners, Kent, this morning. It gets into an issue that involves Los Angeles compared to New York City. New York City, and even the governor out there has acknowledged it, it's a city that lives on top of itself. You've got all this dense housing. You've got all these people right next to each other. Does this make the argument for not having dense housing in a city like Los Angeles?
You know, L.A., I think, in part, is doing well, as we talked about, because we are a healthier population. But we also live in our own private bubbles with four wheels and at least two doors called cars. And because we're using cars and not a lot of public transportation, we are less likely to spread the disease. And because we're not on top of each other as they are in New York City, we are also less likely to spread the disease. That is all true. I'm not sure the answer is to avoid, you know, public transportation in the future and the importance of finding affordable housing. I think it's more to spend our efforts and some of our, you know, hard-earned money on virology, immunology, so that we're ready for the next pandemic. This one really caught us completely unprepared.
A couple of our listeners, Marlene and David, wrote in with this one, and it has to do with the NSAIDs, you know, the Advils, the Aleves. We've heard that some of these things can actually make your symptoms, if you're at home with coronavirus and trying to treat at home, that it makes you feel worse. I mean, what's your take on that?
Yes, the early studies, you know, from China and other countries that have had, you know, at least a month ahead of us on dealing with the COVID-19 epidemic have shown that NSAIDs can increase the likelihood of more serious symptoms, particularly in the lungs. And we've seen this with other viruses as well. So right now we're recommending that if you have fever, if you have body aches, to use something like acetaminophen or Tylenol, or use natural therapies like getting into a tepid bath, using ice to bring your fever down, and not using anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen and aspirin.
All right, Doctor, you're terrific. We appreciate your time. We're going to have you back on the program to answer more questions in the days ahead. Appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.
You bet. Dr. Michael Hurt there, Tarzana family doctor, with us. And again, if you want to have your questions answered, as many as we can get on, all you have to do is send us an email. CoronaQuestions@KNX1070.com. Also on social media, do the same thing, and we'll get to as many questions as we possibly can every morning at this time, 9:45.